Last night I went out to dinner with a friend and it was so lovely that we decided to eat outdoors. I think that it was the first time I'd ever eaten outside in the middle of January. And I told him this and he said that whenever he goes skiing they always eat outside because they don't want to bother taking off their ski gear and they don't want to sit down to a proper dinner because they're skiing and all this. I've never been skiing, so I'm not one to judge, but I don't think it's quite the same thing, do you? Good morning, afternoon. It's the 21st of January 2006, and it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. The Foreigner by Francis Stiegmüller. If it hadn't been raining as I came out of the cinema, I should have walked home. My apartment was near, and the route anything but complicated. Straight down the boulevard, crossing two streets and turning right on the third, the Rue de Grenelle, for about half a block. As it was, however, I hailed a taxi, and it was scarcely a moment before I realised that its driver, a ruddy-faced old man, was in the midst of an attack of perversity and nerves. "No, no," I cried, as he started to turn up the first street, the Rue Saint-Dominique, "two more blocks." He muttered something, swung down the boulevard again, and then in a moment he was turning up the second street, the Rue Las Casas. "No, no," I cried again, "the next one, please. The next street is mine, the Rue de Grenelle." At this, he turned round and gave me a baleful stare. Then he spurted ahead, didn't turn up my street at all, and continued rapidly down the boulevard as though forever. "But now you have passed it," I cried. "You should have turned to the right, as I said. Please turn round and drive up to the Rue de Grenelle to number 36. To my horror, the old man made a noise like a snarl. Spinning his car around in a U-turn on the slippery pavement, he speeded back, crossed the boulevard, and stopped at the corner of my street with a jerk. "Get out," he almost screamed, his face crimson with rage. "Get out of my automobile at once. I refuse absolutely to drive you any further. Three times you have treated me like an idiot. Three times you have grossly insulted me. My automobile is not for foreigners, I tell you. Get out at once." "In this rain," I cried indignantly. "I shall do nothing of the kind. I did not insult you even once, monsieur, let alone three times. You know quite well I did nothing but urge you in vain to drive me home. Now, kindly do so. I shall give you a good pourboire," I added more amiably, "and we shall take leave of each other in a friendly fashion." He barely waited for me to finish. "Get out," he cried. "Get out, I tell you. You have insulted me too often, and you will get out." I glanced at the rain. "Indeed, I will not," I said. His manner calmed ominously. "Either you will leave my taxi," he said in an even, hoarse tone, "or I shall drive you to the commissariat of police, where I shall demand the recompense due me for such insults as yours. Choose." "In such weather as this," I replied, "I have no choice. To the commissariat by all means." And there we went. Commissariat, only a few doors from mine, was not unfamiliar to me. I had been there several times before, on less quarrelsome matters. And as the driver and I entered the bare room side by side, the commissaire, sitting in lonely authority behind his desk, greeted me as an acquaintance. "Good afternoon, monsieur," he said, calling me by name. "I can help you. What is it you wish?" But the old man, to whom the commissaire had barely nodded, gave me no chance to speak. "It is I who wish," he cried. "It is I who wish to complain against this foreigner. 3 times he has treated me like an idiot, monsieur. 3 times he has insulted me grossly. I demand justice, monsieur." The commissaire stared at him, his face expressionless. I felt that he, like me, was wondering in just what condition the old man was. Then, turning to me, he asked me if I would have the kindness to make my deposition. He took up a pen, opened a large blank book, and as I spoke, took down my story in a flowing, plumy hand. The giving of my address to the driver, the 2 incorrect turns, the mutterings, the missing of my street, the rage, the ultimatum. All the commissaire inscribed imperishably in whatever the French call the Spenserian style. Once or twice he interrupted me to reprimand the driver, who muttered beside me at various portions of my testimony. When I had finished, the commissaire continued to write for a moment, ending with a particularly fancy flourish, blotted his last line, and thanked me. Then he turned to the driver. "And now you," he said gruffly, "you depose too, so that I may make up my mind on this perplexing question." The old man, however, had no deposition to make. 3 times was still all he could say in his thick, angry voice, gesticulating at the commissaire and glaring at me. 3 times, monsieur, 3 times like an idiot, and 3 times grossly insulted by this foreigner. It is not to be borne, monsieur." The commissaire looked up crossly from his notebook, where these accusations had been duly inscribed. "But the circumstances? Describe in detail what took place while you were with this gentleman. If the circumstances which he has related are not true," he said, costing me a glance of apology, "correct them." But once again, 3 times was all my accuser could say, and the commissaire laid down his pen rather briskly. "It is entirely clear," he said in a very definite voice, "that it is you, monsieur, who are the injured party in this affair, and I shall be happy to indicate my decision by requiring this person to drive you to your door without charge. If monsieur will now have the goodness to grant me the favour of a brief glance at his papers, a formality required by law in such cases as these, I shall dispose of this matter at once. Your carte d'identité, monsieur, if you please." Like a plummet, my heart sank. In my mind's eye, I saw the desk in my study, and lying on it, forgotten, the identification card which foreign residents are required by French law to carry at all times. "Due to the penetrating rain, monsieur," it hastily occurred to me as the only thing to say, "I have left my card at home, lest the moisture of the weather permeate it, and perhaps destroy it completely. In the morning I can easily bring it to you, monsieur, and I hope that this will satisfy your requirements, which I realise are strict and necessary." But I had done the unforgivable, and everything was changed and over with. "That will not satisfy the requirements," the commissaire said sternly, his face like stone. "It is true that you will bring your card here tomorrow morning, but in view of the present circumstance, I am forced to alter my judgment in this affair. Due to the fact that it is raining, I shall request this gentleman to drive you to your door, but I shall require you to pay him not only for the entire journey, from beginning to end, but also for the time he has lost by coming to this bureau. I assume, monsieur," he said to the old man, "that you have left your meter running?" The driver nodded, and the commissaire rose. "Well then, "Au revoir, messieurs," he said, unsmiling. "Monsieur will not forget tomorrow morning." And side by side, as we had entered, we left the commissariat. I had seen a gleam come into my accuser's eyes when the judgment had been reversed, but apart from that, he had given no signs of triumph, and he continued to give none. He drove me home without a word. It was only when we arrived and I handed him the exact fare, carefully counted out, that he spoke. "Monsieur has no doubt forgotten his promise of a good pourboire, that we might part in a friendly fashion," he said.